Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the next episode of the City Confessions. I hope you're all doing fabulous. Today's episode is going to be an interesting one because for the first time, I'm having a repeat guest. So we are going to welcome Maria Carr. She is the co-founder of Rumor Beauty, which is the first Russian beauty store in the U.S. I actually had Maria on my podcast. I believe it was the first year that I did. I launched it, I'm not too sure, back in 2019? I don't even know, but it's so great to welcome you back, Maria. How are you? And welcome.
Thank you so much, Marianne, and thank you for having me again. It's such a pleasure to be here. And yes, I believe that was one of the very, very first, sessions that we've had. That was early 2019, I want to say, a long time ago, and so many things have changed since then.
Yes, which is why I'm so excited to speak with you. And I know you have position changes and obviously you started your own company. So before we dive in, why don't you reintroduce yourself to the listeners? Tell us who you are, what you do right now, and what your relationship is with New York City.
Absolutely. Thank you. So, hi, everyone. I've been actually working in the beauty industry for about 10 years at this point. And I've been living in New York City for about 14 and a half years. So it's been a while. And that's why I do consider myself a New Yorker, although I'm originally from Russia. So I was born and raised in Russia, moved to New York City when I was 19. And I've been here ever since. And then, as I said before, I've been working in the beauty industry. I've been doing public relations, first on the agency side, supporting brands big and small, trying to raise their brand awareness and help them from PR and communications perspective. And most recently, I was working on the in-house side at one of the global beauty companies. Being in the beauty industry, I've always been like on the lookout for like, what's that new thing? Like, what's that next big thing? And I tried so many beauty brands from all over the world, brands from Asia, brands from Australia, Iceland, Europe, our neighbors from the north, like everywhere around the world. But the thing is that I've never tried anything from my home country, Russia. And that made me think, why is it happening? So I actually went on a quest to Moscow back in the fall of 2019. And it was not intentional. I didn't want it to be about beauty. I actually went there to run a marathon. And being a beauty junkie, I just wanted to see what's out there. And I stopped by a few beauty stores. And what I discovered there completely blew my mind. I saw so many beauty brands and products that I have never seen before, and they were actually born and made in my home country. And that made me think, like, why are these brands not here in the US? Why I don't know about them, being a New Yorker, why none of my friends know about them, why people in the industry don't know about them. So that's how the idea of creating a platform that would introduce Russian beauty brands to the US consumers came to mind, and that's how Rumor Beauty was born.
I remember when you approached me and you were, picking my brains about this idea. I thought it was so fabulous because I'm personally not familiar with any Russian brands, let alone skincare brands. So I guess my question is, doing your research, what role does skincare play in Russia? Because, I mean, you and I clearly were on a trip together in Korea. And Korea skincare is, it's like the holy grail, just because that's like one thing they definitely, personally, I believe they excel in and they truly, truly value it as a society. So can you, if you can define skincare in terms of, you know, through the Russian perspective or lens or culture. What is that like?
Yeah, it's a very good question, and the answer may be a bit lengthy because it's very different compared to the rest of the world. So, you know, just to take a step back, Russian women have always been very particular about taking good care of themselves, very particular about maintaining good hygiene, very good about their beauty routine. That includes skincare, hair care, body, nails, you name it. And I believe that there is this, concept that Russian women, usually in most cases have good looks, like they have good skin, like the long hair, etc., etc. But surprisingly, Russia did not have beauty industry as we know it, you know, in other countries. And what I mean by that is that, you know, during the Soviet Union times, there were a couple of beauty products here and there, but they were not those sexy beauty products that you would expect to see and that you would want to enjoy. That's something that you would look forward to using every day. Those products, they were fine, they worked, but there were not too many of them, and they were definitely not attractive. There was no allure, there was no glamour about them. So, about 15 or 20 years ago, things started to change. So obviously the country was going through a lot of changes, starting from, you know, late 80s and 90s and even early 2000s. It was still that process of rebuilding everything. And it's not just beauty-wise, it's like many, many other industries as well. But when it comes to beauty, we did notice a huge change. So a lot of brands started to emerge. And the beauty industry in Russia is very young. So if you think of it, it's like about 15, 20 years old, which is extremely young compared to, you know, European beauty brands or even beauty brands that we saw in Asia. So it's very young and it's very promising, because also it's interesting that Russian beauty brands, they are taking in consideration modern beauty practices. Think clean beauty, think sustainability, think vegan ingredients, vegan formulas, not testing on animals. So there is no baggage from the past. And I think that's really interesting, and that's very important to the modern day consumer. And, you know, when it comes to formulas and ingredients, back in the days when Russian people did not have access to manufactured beauty products, but they still had a lot of interest in maintaining their good skincare, maintaining their beauty, they were using natural remedies. I do remember my grandmother, even my mom, like members of the extended family, we were really into homemade remedies, gathering herbs, gathering berries and plants and whatnot, and then turning them into concoctions for, I don't know, like making your hair stronger, making your nails grow better, making your skin, you know, a bit glowier. So with Russian beauty, it's like that strong connection with nature that people have had for generations, and the modern brands reflect that. So most of the brands that are over there in Russia these days, they are based on those natural ingredients, those traditional authentic ingredients that people have been using for a while. And of course they are, you know, they're modern products. They have beautiful formulations. They have active ingredients in them as well. So it's a nice mix of traditional and generational beauty merged together with modern technologies and modern approach to skincare.
Which is probably the perfect reason and timing for you to embark on this new entrepreneurial journey. And speaking about that, I want to know, what was that decision like for you to decide to, you know what, I've been in corporate, I've been working in PR, I've been working with brands, now I'm going to do my own thing. How was that decision? Was it easy? Were you thinking about it for a while? And just that whole, just that decision, what was that like?
Ooh, that was a tough decision. I have to tell you, it didn't come easy. And you know, in our family, my husband is usually the one who is very entrepreneurial. He has this spirit of inventing things and, you know, going off the beaten path. And I've always been like more on the traditional side. I've always worked for different agencies, and then I worked in corporate. And I love my job. It was absolutely fine. I have nothing bad to say about any of my jobs, you know, and like wonderful experience that I've had. And you know, I've been always not necessarily skeptical about starting an entrepreneurial journey, but I was like, oh, you know what, I'll just go with a stable thing. I'll go with the traditional route. I'll stick to the job that I have, and I'll just build a successful career. And then as I was thinking last year, you know, after I discovered all of the brands back in Russia in 2019, I was thinking about it. And, I was thinking, what could my career look like moving forward? What's that next step for me? Because for me, obviously, I've been in New York for about 15 years. But at the same time, I really wanted to reconnect with my heritage, with my Russian roots. And I've been thinking about an opportunity that would merge the two together. And I was thinking like, oh, should I go and like work in Moscow maybe? Maybe I should do something else. And nothing seemed right up until the point when my husband and I, we've been brainstorming some ideas, and the idea of Rumor started to shape out a bit more. And that's when it clicked for me. And like, wait, it's such a perfect way to really connect my roots, my heritage, things that I grew up with to my life as, you know, a beauty professional in New York City, as someone who's already been living that American life, and really merging, blending the two together. And it just seemed like a great opportunity. And of course, I don't know. I'm only 1 month out of a corporate job, so I don't know how things will change. But it's interesting. It's an interesting time, you know. I felt very comfortable in my corporate job, and I knew a lot of things, and I knew how to do pretty much everything about my job. And now PR and, you know, beauty is only a part of it, because being an entrepreneur, there are so many things that I do every single day, and many of the things I know, and many more I do not. And I try to figure them out and see what's going to come out of that. And it's interesting. The challenge is definitely here, but I'm all up for it.
I love that. And honestly, you know what? It's 2021. I feel like anybody who has a dream and like wants to do something that's on their to-do list, just freaking do it, because life is way too short. And I feel like we're in this new age of, you know, technology, entrepreneurship, a lot of like self-discovery, self-made, and all that. And I think it's like the perfect time to do so. And you have a great support system. You're doing this company with your husband, correct?
Yes, we are in it together.
So what has been the most difficult challenge so far? I know you just started, but and I know there's, as you know, inevitable changes and challenges that you are going to, you know, come across. But as of right this second, what has been the biggest challenge?
Oh, I think it's really staying on track and managing the time, because I mean, we only have 24 hours in a day. That's not negotiable, right? You can negotiate other things, but 24 hours in a day, that's a given. And managing the time wisely, because you know, there are so many things that demand your attention. There are people who reach out. There are people who I reach out to. And there are many, many things that are happening. And I think if I were to respond and just like do everything at once, then it will be just, you know, there will be no schedule, there will be no strategy. And I think it's really challenging to stay focused and really prioritize things and take care of them in that order, not in the order when you receive things, but really prioritizing and making sure what needs to happen now, what can wait a little bit later. Maybe there is something that can happen over the weekend, and just just manage it that way. And it's also dividing and conquering. I mean, luckily, my husband and I, we have different strengths. So that's been very helpful too. So he's an expert in finance, logistics, and operations. And I'm more on the PR and marketing and, you know, communication side. So luckily we can divide and conquer that way. But then of course there are areas where we overlap or where both of us need to be present and both of us need to dedicate time and thought. So, you know, just making sure that we are not stepping on each other's toes, making sure we are using our time wisely. I think these are very important things to us and we are still trying to figure it out as we go.
I've also interviewed quite a few people who work with their significant others. So how has that been like? Because you live together, he's your husband, and now you're embarking on this business venture with him. How have you been, I guess, managing boundaries and just setting those separate, not even necessarily expectations, but I guess roles in regards to that business hat, right? And not in a like a relationship.
Great question. And I think we've been pretty good about it naturally. But we started to realize that we do need the time that we don't talk about business. So like we don't do work because for the past couple of months, it's been just, okay, it's go time. We need to do work. And it's, you know, we wake up, we get to our laptops and then we just work. And then we just, you know, on the couch, he's watching TV. I'm trying to get a few emails out and vice versa. But lately we're like, okay, we need to take a break. Let's not talk about work. Let's not do any work. Let's just, I don't know, venture out, explore, you know, maybe like a new town nearby or a cute winery or I don't know, like a botanical garden or something. Where we can relax and unwind, because, you know, a lot of work would be taxing and it's not just, taking it all in a relationship, but it's also physically and mentally taxing for us as individuals. So, we've been trying to set more boundaries and become a bit more fair to ourselves and, our marriage.
Which is probably the most strategic way to go about it. There's probably no right or wrong way. Now I want to shift gears and just talk more about the company, Rumor.
Yeah.
One, how did the name come? How did you guys come up with the name? And two, how do you choose which brands and products to carry?
Yeah. Ooh, lots of questions. Lots of things to cover. So the name. So we've been thinking about a lot of different things, and we didn't want it to sound too foreign. And at the same time, we still wanted to convey a little bit of a Russian element in that. So the name Rumor stands for more Russian beauty, Russian, like R-U, and then more is more, you know, more of that. So it's Rumor. And I don't know if you had a chance to see our logo, but we actually worked with, a design firm in Russia. Actually, they're located in a neighboring city, close to a place where I grew up. And we wanted to work with a Russian design firm just so that it would convey a bit of a Russian personality in that logo without overpowering, like making it too stereotypically Russian. So if you see in the logo, there are little birch, like there are little dashes on the letters. So those symbolize a birch tree, and birch tree is a traditional, like authentic tree, like a symbol of Russia, basically. So that's how that logo came to be. In terms of the brands, so, you know, since I haven't been to Russia in so long, I had to do a lot of research. I mean, I tried a couple of brands when I went to Moscow in 2019. I had a chance to explore some and just like see the overall look and feel of them. But then I started to dig a bit deeper. I spoke with a few experts back in Russia. I spoke with a few friends who are beauty lovers and who still live there. And I was also doing a lot of research on social media, a lot of research online, scrolling through Russian publications, trying to see what is hot, what is cool. And at the same time, what has that connection to the Russian roots? So we landed on 6 brands. And those 6 brands, this is definitely not exhaustive of everything that's out there. This is literally to just scratch the surface and select a few brands that could represent Russian beauty really well. And we actually, after we did the brand lineup, that was absolutely not intentional, but we realized that all of our brands are founded by, either founded or co-founded by female entrepreneurs, which was very impressive. I did not aim for that. It just happened to be this way. And I think that's also, you know, one of those modern day things that, you know, because Russian beauty is so new, it's such a new concept at all. As I said before, about 15 or 20 years ago, all of the brands started to emerge. And I think having women at the helm of all of those brands really speaks to that modern approach and to how modern the industry is altogether.
I love the name. Oh, sorry. Were you going to add more?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love the name so much now that you've explained where it came from and how your thought processing was when coming up with the branding. I think it's so brilliant. And I am on the website. It's so beautifully designed. And I truly, truly, truly think the products that you have chose, whether or not it was, you know, not that it wasn't intentional, of course it's intentional, but just like the common denominator of all of it as of now, right? The current products are founded by women. It's really, really interesting. And yeah, I honestly can't wait to dive in and just like explore and review it myself. Skincare, as you know, is something that is just like a passion of mine. And it's always fun to try different products, especially new ones, because I feel like that's the best way to see, you know, not only one, supporting other brands, and two, just discovering if something else is really going to work for your skin. Because as we know, all of our skin type and just the way our skin react is very different. So do you have a personal favorite product?
Oh, that's a hard question because, you know, we have more than 50 products in the portfolio, and we actually personally tested every single product before we decided to take it. So lots of UPS labels, lots of shipping was involved. Mm-hmm. But we were very happy that we had an opportunity to test them all out and really pick what we truly enjoyed, and not just for us, but then we were also thinking about different skin types, as you said, or even different age groups and different needs as people may be, you know, experiencing or looking for skincare in those categories. I mean, my personal favorites, I really love our honey and raspberry scrub by a name called Nipo. So that brand is actually, it has been on the forefront of sustainability in beauty in Russia. All of the packaging is glass. It's 100% natural. And a lot of products have certification by European authorities such as EcoCert and Cosmos Organic and Cosmos Natural, which is the highest standard of European certification. So that product is definitely one of my personal must-haves. Another one that I love is a cleanser from True Alchemy. So True Alchemy is a brand. It was a brand from St. Petersburg. It was founded by a couple, and then they were expecting their first child, I believe, and then they were trying to find formulations that would work for the skin, but at the same time would not be harmful in any way. And then they have many other brands as part of their company, and True Alchemy is one of them. So that cleanser is infused with wheat proteins. It's also certified by EcoCert, microbiome friendly, which I personally like because that means that the product is really working with your skin, with your skin's microbiome, and not against it or not disrupting it in any way. What else do I like? There is this serum called anti-stress serum from a brand called Botavicos. And it's infused with sea buckthorn extract. And to me, like, that whole serum is just like, I call it sunshine in a bottle, because it has bright orange color naturally. And it's, you know, sea buckthorn scent, natural sea buckthorn scent. And to me, that really reminds me of my childhood when I was in my grandmother's garden, picking sea buckthorn and then eating those berries straight from the tree, straight from the bush. And that berry is so rich in antioxidants. It has so many benefits for the skin. And that serum is powered by sea buckthorn. And it also has niacinamide. So it's like really blending, you know, modern trendy ingredients and then blending the traditional ingredients that, you know, Russian people are used to. So that's been pretty good as well. There is a brand called In Nature. And from them, I love I like a couple of things, but the one I use literally every day is natural face cream with lifting effect. And that brand, actually it's not pronounced In Nature. I have misspoken. It's pronounced In Nature, the French way. And it's made with plants and botanicals from the south of Russia. And what's so special about south of Russia is that it has the most fertile soil, and it's home to an unbelievable variety of different botanicals. So if you think of Russia as a very cold place, if you go to the south of Russia, that's where you can discover, apricot trees and peach trees and apples and like all types of different berries and fruits that naturally grow there without, any aid from farming. It just all happens there because the soil is so good. And that's where they get their ingredients from. And then we have a brand called Laboratorium. It's a very modern looking brand, and I love their masks. The masks come in a tube and then they are like basically dried powder. And what's so cool about them is that you can actually see all of the ingredients that are in there. You just, you know, splash a little bit on your palm and then you can tell like what's in there, like all of the particles of plants, like little like particles of clay, everything that goes, like you can see it's right there. And you can also mix your own mask because it comes in a dry form, and then you just you can dissolve it in water, or you can dissolve it in milk, or you can dissolve it in sour cream. So your consistency will be very different, and then basically you build your own mask and then the way you use it the way you want it. And last but not least, we have a brand called G Love Cosmetics, and G Love is the youngest brand in the portfolio. It was founded by a cosmetic chemist who is very, very renowned in Russia. She's also the formulator for other brands outside of her own label. Those brands we don't carry just yet, but you know, she's been like a formulation mother to many brands out there. And those masks, they're so fun to use because they come in individually prepackaged sachets, and they're so easy. You can take them with you if you are traveling, or you can just like pop them in the bag. And then, I don't know, if you're like going somewhere for a weekend, you can just easily use it. And they're based on fruits and veggies because she was also inspired by her garden, her summer house and her garden. And that's why she decided to create her own collection of face masks.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now. I love that it's like an individual, what do you call it? An individual little like
little pouch. Stash.
Yeah, pouch for that's super, super unique. And with that being said, everybody who's listening, definitely go on the website. I'm leaving it in the description because I'm sure you'll have a very happy time shopping. And I also wanted to ask, you know, when I think of skincare, obviously as a woman, I think of just like women's skincare, but are these products also good for men?
They are. Yeah. Actually, it's so interesting that you're asking this because I was just scrolling through Instagram and G Love Cosmetics, they made a post saying that our masks are good for both men and women. Mm-hmm. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I need to keep that in mind. But yes, you know, in cosmetics, I feel like one of the most common things that doesn't attract men in general is the scent. So mm-hmm. with our products, many of the products, they don't have added fragrance at all. So whatever the product smells like, it's the ingredients that are in there. So a lot of products, they do smell like pure botanicals. Some products have a very, very light scent or no scent at all. For example, masks from G Love. My husband and I, both of us, we've been loving them because they smell like fruits and veggies. They don't smell like artificial, like, you know, all of these crazy fragrances that sometimes you may come across in beauty products, but they all have very natural scents that are not overpowering, and it's literally like stepping into a natural oasis. Like, for example, we have Hydrolates from Botavicos, which is basically an extraction, like extraction from herbs made by the process of distillation. So it's basically distilled herbs. And then they do smell like a concoction, like if you brew herbs for a bit, like that's how, like basically that's how they smell. So it's very natural. And that's why it's suitable for both men and women. Of course, if you like natural scents.
Yeah. I don't know if you hear the siren, but I don't know what's going on. But this is what New York is all about. There's so much noise in the background. But I'm so excited for you and your journey. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing all the beautiful products. And I just think it's super unique. I mean, I don't even know how many of the listeners are aware of what Russian Beauty is. And I think it's so amazing that you're bringing it to the forefront of the U.S. market. You've been on my podcast. You know what I'm going to ask next. As we are winding down, I would love for you to share a city confession. I actually don't remember what your confession was last time. Do you remember?
Yeah. So remember we talked about really believing in yourself and...
Oh, yes. Like imposter syndrome a little bit, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like how how sometimes you don't even think things are possible, and then sometimes you may not get the support, and people, you know, like they may be cheering you on, but not really. So, and I feel like this conversation really ties into that thing. It's like you need to believe in yourself, and you really need to make your impossible possible. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, for this episode's confession, well, and I think, Marianne, you already kind of previewed that by what you said before when you said, you know, YOLO, like it's 2021, mm-hmm. we're the only ones, just go for it and do it. And for me, and I don't talk too much about that, but at the very end of 2019, I had a very busy and a very successful year. But at the end of that year, I actually, I realized that I needed to have a surgery. So I went through a surgery. And that also, you know, it was a very challenging experience for me because that was my first surgery. I didn't know what to expect. I mean, thankfully everything was okay. But then that really made me think that life is short and you don't know, you know, like one day you're like traveling the world and having so much fun and accomplishing a lot of like, I mean, everything, like all of your goals and making your dreams come true, but you don't know what's going to happen to you in a month. And it may sound very like morbid in a way, but at the same time, life is short and you need to act now because you don't know, like act now while you have an opportunity, while you have an idea, while you have the strength to do that, while you have time, or I mean, whatever else it may be happening in your life. Don't postpone your dreams or like don't delay them because, you know, there are things that we tend to hold on to, but those things, like, you know, for example, a job, right? And I feel like 2020 is a very good proof that jobs are not stable. Jobs are not forever. You can have a job today and you may not have a job tomorrow. But if you hold on to that with everything that you have, you will miss out on so many other things. So I think my confession is to really not be afraid to pursue something and keep in mind that it's like, it's YOLO. It's like also now or never, just giving yourself a chance. And I mean, I that surgery experience was very eye-opening for me. And I feel like that was also one of the reasons why I wanted to try something new and I wanted to try something different. And I didn't want to hold myself back.
I'm smiling so hard because I don't know if you know about my story, right? With like my health condition.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I obviously relate to you on that aspect, but it is one of those moments where you put life into perspective. And you know, I think, like you mentioned, 2020 was definitely a eye-opening year for a lot of people. But just when you slow down and you do that reflection and you start to evaluate your life and truly ask yourself what makes you happy and what is the life that you want to personally live, because it isn't forever and time, you know, on earth is sacred and is limited. I think once you absorb that and accept that and truly, truly like see it for what it is, that will set the fire under you to go after whatever that is. Because like you mentioned, we are like, I always say we're the captains of our own lives, and we really do have the power to create the life we want to live and create our reality. So I just echo everything you said, and it made me just, I'm like motivated too, because there's things on my list that I haven't done yet. And I'm like, oh my God, why am I holding back? Like, it is just, it is time, you know? So that's such a beautiful way to, I feel like, end this podcast. And my last question to you is, what is your superpower? What is that one trait that you have that you know is going to just skyrocket this business and propel you forward?
Ooh, tough question. Lots of tough questions.
I know, I'm stepping it up.
Yeah, throw the challenges at me. superpower. I think just like maybe I'll just go with like that phrase, which may sound cliche, but it's like really making the impossible possible. You know, because I think that also relates to not just my journey in this new endeavor, but then also my journey as a runner, how I've never been a runner. And then, I mean, at this point, I'm a 4-times marathon finisher. And I...
Yes, that deserves a round of applause.
Thank you. And never ever in my life, I could have imagined that I would actually be able to do a marathon, leave alone 4. And I mean, same thing here. Like, I'm coming from a very small town in Russia. And when I came to the US, I literally had $200 in my pocket. And I was 19. And I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any family in here. And I could have never, ever imagined that 14 and a half years down the road, I'll actually start my own company, and that I would have, you know, built a network of amazing people in the beauty industry, and I would be an expert in some way, you know, understanding the beauty space and even spotting something that wasn't here, you know, and bringing it from across the globe. I trust me, I would have never ever imagined that, even if you told it to me 5 years ago, or like even like, I don't know, 10 years ago, I'd be like, wait, no, there is no way. So yeah, it's just really making things happen and just being curious and trying to see like what's cool out there, and how I can bring something not just into my life, but then hopefully in the life of other people, so that they can also enjoy and you know, get the pleasure of using the products that I've discovered.
Yes. And now is your chance to plug away. I'm obviously going to leave your personal information in the description, as well as Rumore Beauty. But right now, do you have anything you are currently working on? Remember, it is June. So can the listeners or the world be on the look? What can the listeners and the world be on the lookout from you, Maria, or from Rumore Beauty? Do you have anything in the works? What can you share? Here's your chance to just plug away.
Yeah, so lots of things. I mean, here in the US, we are still new kids on the block, so we're trying to spread the word as much as we can. So, you know, you'll probably see us here and there in some beauty media outlets, maybe in some other podcasts down the road, but we are just starting our journey. So lots of work to do on this side. And hopefully we'll be able to grow our assortment in the next few months. Who knows? you know, now since the word's been spreading a bit more and more brands from Russia are reaching out to us, and they would love to work with us and introduce their products to American consumers as well. So we are trying to see what would that 2.0 assortment is going to look like, and then we can start introducing that. But for now, we'll just stick to the 6 brands that we have, and we'll just continue, you know, building that awareness and introducing Russian beauty products to the US beauty lovers. And I mean, like, on a personal note, I just want to enjoy summer. I feel like winter has been way too long and cold and snowy. Which is a Russian person, I don't mind at all. I like snow. But I'm just really hoping to get a little bit of sunshine and maybe go to a couple of beautiful places, whether it's locally or, you know, a bit more long distance. But, you know, finding some time to unwind and appreciate the beauty of nature and everything that summer has to offer. And now, since we don't need to wear masks, and I mean, still do, but, you know, with restrictions been lifted slowly but surely. Been vaccinated. So, you know, that's definitely looking promising. So I'm very excited to take advantage of that.
I am with you. I am so excited for summer. I mean, as we're recording today, it's actually a really beautiful day in the city. So yes, I can't wait. I feel like we've all been just cooped up, which is why, you know, as I mentioned before, like, even the thought of you starting your own company, and you did it recently, it's a perfect timing. You know, there's things that are just like looking up for everybody. So I feel like that adds to the excitement, because starting a company is exciting. You know, it's scary, but I think more so on the exciting part. So yeah, but you know, I wish you the best of luck. I'm always here to support you. And for those who have never heard of Russian beauty, you have heard it here first. So definitely after this ends in like a minute, go to the website, add some products in your cart, support Maria, and explore different products that you have never would have heard of otherwise. So that being said, Maria, I just want to take a moment now. As you always know, I am so, so grateful for you and your presence and your friendship. And I just love our relationship so much. Thank you for saying yes to being on my podcast and being first reoccurring guest on my podcast. It's so great to have you back. And I hope everybody who is listening enjoyed this episode. And yeah, thank you so much. And we will talk soon.
Thank you so much for having me. And for everyone who's been listening, thank you for tuning in. And I'll see you on rumorbeauty.com.
Yay. All right. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.